Good evening. As Chris said a while ago, I thought we were going to get some rain. I heard the thundering all around us, pulled up the radar, and I think it was probably raining all around us, but I'm thankful that it did cool off, and we certainly appreciate that. Let me go ahead and encourage you to mark 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 20 and 21 in your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 20 and 21. We're actually going to be coming back to that in just a few minutes. Tonight, I want to talk to you about a very important subject. A subject that we talk about, a subject that we probably understand, but it's a subject that we should always be reminded about, and it has to do with the work that God has given to us. Tonight we're going to be emphasizing the Lord's work and why the work is so important. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, the Apostle Paul reminds us about our salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we learn about God's love, we learn about God's grace, we learn about God's mercy, and how God can make us alive through His Son. But as you stop and think about the subject of salvation, Paul then reminds us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, that we've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God wants us to be filled with good works. And that's what we're focusing on tonight, the Lord's work. And as you know, the Lord's work is very, very important. As we think about the Lord's work, we think about Jesus Christ, our perfect example. A lot of times we quote Luke 2, verse 49. But as you think about Luke 2, verse 49, we learn that Jesus was a very young person at that time when He said, "I must be about my Father's business." And so when we talk about the Lord's work, we're talking about the Father's business. And the Father's business is very important. We talked about worship being a priority in our life. The same could be said about the Lord's work. The Lord's work needs to be a priority in our life. There are a few verses that I just want us to turn and read before we actually come to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And you may think of these verses as foundational that lead up to what we're going to be talking about in 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 and 21. If you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 9. All of these verses that we're looking at are going to emphasize the importance of the Lord's work and why we should be working in the kingdom of God. Remember, the Apostle Paul says we're to be abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 58. Again, abounding in the work of the Lord. And when you think about some of these verses that we're going to be reading, like Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 and 37, you see why the Holy Spirit wants us to be abounding in God's work. We should strive and challenge ourselves to be increasing in God's work at all times, because there's that much work to be done in the kingdom of God. Listen to what Jesus says beginning in verse number 37. Matthew 9, verse number 37. "Then saith He unto His disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Now, we just said that there's a lot of work to do in the kingdom of God. And Jesus is educating us concerning the Lord's work. Concerning the laborers are few. Jesus goes on to say in verse number 38, He gives us something to pray about in our daily prayers. Verse number 38, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." Let me encourage you in your daily prayers to pray about the work of the Lord, to pray about opportunities to evangelize, pray for laborers. In August, we're going to have around 11 new students that are preparing themselves to work in the vineyard of God. And I think that's wonderful to see people coming and dedicating themselves for 2 years in a study of God's Word to prepare themselves for the Lord's work. We need to be praying for them. We need to be praying for every good work that is being done in the kingdom of God. But specifically, Jesus teaches us that we are to pray for laborers. And then you turn to Matthew chapter 10 and we read about some of those laborers. We read about the apostles and we see how they were sent on a limited commission. Again, it reminds us that there is work to be done in the kingdom of God. And what I like about Matthew chapter 10 is I read through the apostles like Simon Peter and Andrew, James and John. Think about their occupation. They were fishermen. They were fishermen. And Jesus calls them and He makes them, you remember, fishers of men. Think about how Jesus used Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And you continue to read, and we read about Matthew. You remember who Matthew was? He was a tax collector. And look at how the Lord used Matthew to His glory, to do His work. There's another individual that I want to mention down in verse number 4. Simon the Canaanite. Now when you look at Luke's account, we see Simon, whose name is Simon the Zealot. And you think about who Simon the Zealot was. And you think about Matthew, a tax collector who worked for the Roman Empire. Matthew and Simon were mortal enemies. Simon was a zealot. He was part of a group that was basically fighting against the Romans, fighting against people like Matthew. He was really a part of the militia. You can think of Simon as being a part of the militia and Matthew working for the IRS. Just think about it. They were at odds with one another. But notice how the Lord used them for His cause. Think about their occupation. You think about their change of life. Now they are working for a common cause, doing the Lord's work. We learn something very valuable here. Matthew 9, Matthew chapter 10. You see how God uses people to carry out His work. The laborers are few, but God can use you. God can use me. That's going to be the emphasis as we work our way to 2 Timothy chapter 2. As it relates to the Lord's work. I'm useful. You are useful. And there's plenty of work for all of us to be doing. Notice another context, if you would, John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I like what Jesus teaches us here in John chapter 4, verse number 35, as it relates to the Lord's work. John chapter 4, beginning at verse number 35, "Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white." Notice this, already to harvest. Here Jesus is encouraging us to have spiritual perception as it relates to the work of the Lord. Lift up your eyes, because I promise you, when you do that spiritually speaking, you will find that there is always something to do. When it comes to kingdom work, there is always something to do. Jesus says, just look around you. Just lift up your eyes. This really goes along with what Solomon teaches in Ecclesiastes 9, verse number 10. "For whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might." I remember when I worked for the co-op, my boss used to teach us or tell us, listen, there's always something to do. You can clean the shop. You can organize the truck, restock the truck. There is no reason why you should just be standing there, sitting in the chair, popping your feet up on the desk. There's just too much work to be done. How true that is, spiritually speaking, when we think about the greater work that God has given us. That takes us to another context, going back to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Jesus in Matthew chapter 20 talks about the kingdom of God being like a vineyard, because Jesus Christ, again, is emphasizing the work of the Lord. Just think how many contexts we've already looked at this evening as it relates to God's work. As it relates to God's work. And you see the same thing here in Matthew chapter 20. And I'm just going to begin reading at verse number 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? That's the point that I want to emphasize from this context. God doesn't want us to be idle, because there's that much work to do. There's no time to be lazy, spiritually speaking, in the kingdom of God. There is something for everyone to do. And what I hope you see from these passages that we're looking at leading up to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 20 through 21, is that all of us in here this evening can be useful to the master's service. All of us in here can be useful when it comes to doing the Lord's work. Now with that in mind, let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to read verse number 20 and 21, and then we'll develop some points from these two verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse number 20. The Apostle Paul says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he should be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. There are at least three things that describe this honorable vessel that we read about in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 20 and 21. At least, again, three things that describe the character of an honorable vessel. Again, if we're going to be useful to the Master, these three things are important. Number one, we can see from these two verses, an honorable vessel is sanctified. An honorable vessel is sanctified. Notice there in verse number 21, if a man therefore purge himself, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Now, to be sanctified means to be set apart for God's use. But if we're going to be sanctified, look at verse number 21, an individual must be purged. Some translations will use the word cleanse. In order to be set apart for God's service, one has to be cleansed from their sins. Now, the Greek word is ekkathairo. And it's a very interesting word. Ek meaning out, kathairo to purge. To purge out. But as you think about this particular Greek word, this particular verb, I'm not just trying to make you all Greek scholars here. I'm not a Greek scholar. These tools are available. You can see these things as you look at the original words. But this particular verb is interesting, because this verb has a preposition on the front of it. And in the original language, any time there is a preposition on the front of a verb, it intensifies the verb. And so what you see here is, in order for a person to be sanctified, one has to be thoroughly cleansed. And one is thoroughly cleansed, as we know, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we stay cleansed as the children of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. But again, in order for one to be an honorable vessel, one has to be sanctified. One has to be set apart, as you could say, from Satan, self, and sin. And when you are set apart from Satan, self, and sin, listen, you are useful to God. Think about all of the passages in the New Testament that encourage all of us to be set apart from Satan, self, and sin. To be set apart from this world. For example, in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." God wants us to be spiritually minded people. That's the kind of person God can use for His glory in His service. In other words, you cannot live a lifestyle. You cannot persistently live in sin. You cannot be conformed to this world and expect to be used by God in His service. We must come out from among the world. We must keep ourselves unspotted from the world if we're going to practice pure religion. James 1, verse number 27. And that's what Paul is encouraging Timothy to be, that vessel of honor. And we can see an honorable vessel is sanctified, is set apart for God's service. And the only way that we're going to be set apart for God's service is if we stay clean. If we stay clean. I'm sure all of us in here, sad to say, know people who have neglected their salvation, the language of Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3, and have become vessels of dishonor. Think about that. Because of spiritual neglect, spiritual apathy, being indifferent, they have become a vessel of dishonor. And how sad it is to see somebody turn away from the Lord's work to go back into the world. Peter talks about that in 2 Peter 2, verse 20 through 22. It is a horrible thing. Listen, we want to be useful. We've already pointed out that God can use us in His glory. He can use us in His work. There's always something to be done in God's kingdom. But here we're learning that if we're going to be useful, we have to be sanctified. We have to be set apart from this world. And when we are set apart from this world, we are set apart to do God's work. But number two, we can see from these two verses, an honorable vessel is useful, and listen to it, to the master. The word master really helps us understand the point that we're making. Again, an honorable vessel is useful to the master. This has to do with the heart of one who bows his knee to the master in Christ-like submission. In other words, if we're going to be useful to our great God, we need to be more like Jesus Christ. We need to be more like our Lord. And you see how the Father used Him to carry out His work, to carry out His redemptive plan. And so if we're going to be useful to the Master, we need to have the heart of Jesus Christ. I love what Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24. For whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that in the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. And just listen to the words of Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said while He was here on this earth. In John 4, verse number 34, Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." In John chapter 6, verse number 38, Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me." And then in John chapter 8, verse number 29, Jesus said, "I always do those things that please Him." Listen, if we truly learn to have the heart and attitude of Jesus, if we're truly about the Father's business like our Lord was, I promise you, God will use you. God will use me. Let's strive to be more like Jesus Christ. Remember, our service to the Lord is not a competition. I hope we get that point. Our service, the work that we're doing for the Lord, is not a competition. When I stop and think about it, I think probably preachers are more challenged in this area, maybe trying to outdo one another. Who can be on the most lectureships, or who can hold the most gospel meetings, or who can be, you know, the best speaker? Listen, it doesn't matter if you're a preacher or a deacon or an elder or a member of the body of Christ. As we think about the Lord's work, it's not a competition. No, the Lord's work is about a cause. And there's a huge difference between a competition and a cause. We strive to abound in the Lord's work, and we strive to have the heart of Jesus so that we could be useful for the cause. Do you realize there are probably over 7 billion people on our earth? Sad to say, the majority of the world is lost. The majority of the world doesn't even know who Jesus is. Is there not a cause? We don't need to be in a competition. We don't need to be trying to outdo one another. We simply need to serve like Jesus Christ. And we need to be like Jesus. And we need to be submissive like Jesus. And we need to submit to the One who rules over us. And when we learn to submit to the One who rules over us, I promise you, you will be useful in His service. An honorable vessel, number one, is sanctified. Number two, an honorable vessel is useful to the Master. And then number three, as we look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 and 21, an honorable vessel is prepared. An honorable vessel is prepared, you'll notice at the end of verse number 21, unto every good work. Now the idea here has to do with eagerness. The attitude of eagerness. Listen, if we're going to do the Lord's work, we have to, number one, be prepared. We see that in 1 Peter 3, verse number 15. And we have to, number two, be ready. Romans chapter 1, verse number 15. Paul says, "For I'm ready to preach the gospel." I'm ready. I'm prepared. And preparation and readiness, it's not going to happen by accident, and it's not going to happen overnight. Really, it involves spiritual growth. And as we grow and as we become more knowledgeable of God's Word and we understand His will, we really are put in a position where we're useful to God because we're prepared and we're ready. But I hope, as we think about this last point, I hope we are eager to be used, because there's one thing we know for sure from Matthew 25. We don't want to bury our talent. Think about that. You have the 5-talent man, you have the 2-talent man, you have the 1-talent man. The 1-talent man buried his talent, and the Lord was very upset with the 1-talent. talent man. Listen, we all have talent. We all have a skill set, if you please, that we can use in God's service, in His work. You don't have to be one that can come and stand behind this podium and publicly speak. That might not be your talent. I can tell you there are some very capable men in here that are able to stand behind this pulpit and speak way better than I speak. But that may not be your talent. Your talent may be reaching out to people, helping them, inviting them, just sitting down and talking with them, giving them a listening ear, and giving them encouragement from the Word of God. Maybe sitting down and praying with them. Maybe it's sitting down and helping them with a task, helping them think through things. Again, we all have talent. And I truly believe we have to learn to tap into that talent. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul talks about the body of Christ. He talks about the hand. He talks about the ear. He talks about the foot. Again, each member of the body is very important, and it works in unity. It works together. What a beautiful picture of the body of Christ working together when we learn to tap into that talent, when we use each person's skill set. And again, you don't want to force a skill set upon a person. That person needs to find their skill set, spiritually speaking, and use it to God's glory, to use it in His service. And so don't bury your talent. Have the Isaiah attitude. Lord, here am I, send me. And so tonight, as we bring our lesson to a close, we can see from 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 and 21, that God encourages us to be useful to His service, to be useful to His glory, to His work, to be that honorable vessel. But we can see from these two verses that an honorable vessel is sanctified, set apart for God's service. An honorable vessel, number two, is useful. And number three, an honorable vessel is prepared to do the Lord's work. Let's put our hands to the plow and not look back, spiritually speaking. Let's get busy, because when I think about Marble Falls, I realize that there is a lot of work that needs to be done. There are a lot of souls in our backyard that need help, spiritually speaking. And I hope we will do what we can to make a difference as we share the Word of God, as we live it in our lives. May God help all of us to be about the Father's business. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, spiritually speaking, won't you please come right now as we stand.